This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Am I up?
You're up.
I'm up. Yay, I'm working on the board. All right, all good. Very good. Well, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio with the round... I swear to God, I'm never going to get it. Round eyebrowed... that it? What else is it? Is the round eyebrow... No, what else did she say? See, you don't even know what she said.
Because you screwed it up
I've
so
screwed it up
many
so many times.
Times,
you don't even have it anymore. All right, so
I can't remember what she said.
Yeah, the round eyebrow...
Beautiful, wow.
Beautiful
brown,
something or not. The people who are listening right now are going,
they already just clicked on.
I know, they're like, okay, that's fine. End of my blab, we're done. We tried it with them, and we're going on another show. So if you're watching on Blab right now, thank you very much for doing that. We are live there. We are also live on WSRadio.com, as well as here in studio. We are alive, which is good, because the other choice would not be good. So we are live.
Yeah.
Like, I hate when people say that, because it's like, what's the other choice? Of course you're live. I mean, otherwise you're... dead, so that doesn't work either. All right, so welcome to Reinvention Radio. Mary, I come here just because I want to see the looks on your face. That's really why I do this every week, because I just want to see the look on your face.
Because I can't hide it.
You can't hide it. You're like, you couldn't play poker. Like, you totally could not play poker. Because, yeah, you'd be like, oh, fuck, I got aces.
Right.
Oh, man, that's fun. All right, so what a show, huh? Did you, were you inspired by that last show? By the way, if you're just listening to the podcast here, check out the last. And what the hell are they talking about the faces thing? That's another thing. Check out Reinventing Faces.
That was really good.
That was a really good episode from a while back. That's what we were talking about. Woman looks at your faces. She says, you look like this, and you have these character traits, and this, that, and the other. And I think she looked at me, and she said, I can't help you. I think that's...
Right?
Right.
But then it reminds me of the name one, too. Gotta check out the name one.
You definitely have to check out Reinventing Name, especially the last segment. Because that is, I mean, I think in Reinvention Radio history, that's going to go on the highlight show. So when it has to. So when we do our 100th show, that segment from Reinventing Names... that has to go on. No doubt.
It was.
No doubt. 100%.
Just thinking of it makes me laugh.
It was. All right. So let's see. We're in Thanksgiving week. So we're here on a Tuesday, which is very cool. By the way, I'm doing like my first Thanksgiving dinner. Do you do Thanksgiving dinners? Have you ever? Do you do that? Rich, do you do Thanksgiving dinners?
Yeah.
You do.
I do like two or three if I can.
Oh, man.
I love
Thanksgiving
dinners.
I bounce around.
But I mean, do you cook the Thanksgiving dinner? That's
one.
What I mean.
One.
You do cook one.
Yeah. I cook one.
All right. So I'm doing this for the first time. I'm scared. I'm like nervous. I've never actually cooked. Can I be honest? I've never cooked a turkey.
Is that why you practice with the chicken?
That's, you know what? No, that's why I practice with the sheep.
Wow. That's
whoa.
A line.
Hey now. Hey now. All right.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, but I'm ready when that, yeah. Anyway, so I've never actually made a turkey before. And
it's not that hard. The toughest thing is just making sure that everything comes out at the same time.
Right. That's called cooking, which is what
right.
I'm not good at. That's
so
like,
why are you doing this?
Do one of the pre-buys. I know everyone thinks that's lame, but it's so.
It is lame.
It isn't.
Dude, it's totally lame.
No, it's
is
not.
That what you, so you don't actually
well,
cook Thanksgiving dinner.
I cook it, but I'm just saying if it's your first one, it helps you time out what she's talking about. Because that is the hardest part, getting it all. Yeah, but it's cool.
Scaredy cat.
I only do it.
I am totally scared. I'm thinking, I'm like, I'm going to fuck up the frozen corn. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to do the frozen corn right. I mean, that's what I'm scared about.
Your wife is going to let you do this?
My wife is going to watch and hopefully support my Thanksgiving dinner efforts. But I got to tell you, when I do what I think I'm probably going to do, she's going to take over. She's going to be like, okay,
you
that was a nice
blab
try.
It.
Blab my Thanksgiving dinner.
No, blab the process. I watched a guy do all these Thanksgiving pies. He had one camera on the counter with all the pies, and then he had one camera on him.
Wow.
I was riveted. I watched.
That sounds like a whole production. I'm going to be so, like, concerned with just not, like, completely fucking up, like, the stuffing and all that stuff. And by the way, I am not reaching in that turkey. Whatever is in that turkey is staying in that turkey. Because I am not going in there.
You want to take some of that stuff out.
I don't know about that. I am not going.
Go back to the chicken.
There's a neck bone in there.
And
gizzards and all kinds of.
Have you seen you porn? I mean, do you know what happens when you stick your whole hand in things? It's not pretty. But though evidently it's pretty popular. So maybe I will. That's what I'm going to blab.
Right.
Just going in and out of the turkey. That's all
gosh.
I'm going to blab. All right. So I forget. Did we talk about the Ronda Rousey thing? Have we talked about that?
Who?
Exactly.
No, we didn't.
We didn't talk about that, right?
No.
No, we didn't.
It
all
hadn't
right.
happened yet.
I don't even know
it
what
hadn't
you're
happened.
Talking
all right.
About.
So that's the thing. All right. So Ronda Rousey, you really don't know?
Nope.
Oh my God.
Run around a what?
All right. So for Christmas, for Christmas, we're going to buy you a, an internet connection or something. By the way, bring up, Sheree, bring up just so you can participate in this. And, just
it's your own risk.
Yeah. It's Sheree. Your own risk. Sheree, you're there with us. Yes.
Hello.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yay. Yeah. See, progress. Everything works. Technology.
Hey.
You got it. You got it. You are really good, like sliding things up and down, Mary. You've got like that down pat, the one finger thing. All right. So, Sheree, you know who Ronda Rousey is, yes?
Yeah, yes. You do. I have quite a few friends who were in the deep depression after that fight.
Really? Mm. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think at some point, anyone who is that, like Mayweather, like I can't wait to see Mayweather just get his fucking ass handed to him. I mean, really, because that guy is just like off the charts cocky. Although I will tell you, I really like his taste in cars. Oh my God! Have you seen his collection? You know, I believe they call ridiculous. It. What did you ever see the? Did you see the roast of Justin Bieber? Sheree, did you see the roast of Justin Bieber?
You didn't. I don't think I saw that one.
So Martha Stewart had like the funniest line. Whoever are the writers for the roast, like I give them so much props because the writing on that stuff is stellar. One of the guys said that Snoop Dogg, he looked like a retired WNBA player, which is great. I thought that was hilarious. But Martha Stewart had the line of like the whole thing. Do you remember what that line was, Rich?
She had a few lines.
She had a few. Do you remember? She was talking about Kevin Hart and how he went out and got his big contract and then he bought himself like a $300,000 watch. She was like, yeah, I'm not sure exactly what they call that, Kevin, but I think they called it something like African American rich, you know, something like that. So, yeah, that's so when I think of Floyd Mayweather, that's what comes to mind for me is Martha Stewart saying that, which is pretty darn funny. But the fucking guy just bought himself a Bugatti, another Bugatti. $3.25 million for that car.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was a watch.
I know, right? I bet he's got a $1 million watch as well.
He barely even drives them. He mostly just collects them.
And some of those things I would think probably do go up in value, but I can't imagine that all of them go up in value. I mean, that's like housing.
You have to have a limited edition of them, right?
Well, I know like some of the older cars definitely go. Like Jay Leno's garage, I mean, he's got some stuff there, but a lot of that stuff is junk. Like, I mean, you look at that stuff you wouldn't pay for, but some of like the fancier cars, the Lamborghinis and Ferraris, which is pretty much like all this guy has, the Bugattis and all that. Some of that I'm sure has to go up in value, but at the same token, that's kind of, you know, it's like, no, man, I'm sorry, Junior, you can't go to college. You know why? Look in the garage.
Right.
It's like, there's your education right there. So you need to go out and do your own thing.
What does this have to do with run around
school? So Ronda Rousey, who lost, yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Mary.
That woman, that one who is an MMA fighter. And she was the real deal and still is the real deal, but undefeated. I mean, just like incredible athlete. I think in her, all of her fights, she fought for like a total of like 68 seconds or something like that. Like won five fights in like 12 seconds or something ridiculous. So, I mean, she's just, a man among women, really. And that's what Floyd Mayweather said. He was like, yeah, I'm not familiar with that guy. Who is that? So that's kind of how that whole thing got started there. But anyway, long story short. So she lost. So she really got her ass beat. I mean, bad. Like, and I saw this woman, Holly Holm. I saw her fight her first time in the UFC. I wasn't that impressed. After watching this fight, I'm like, damn, now I get what the hype is because she is the real deal. But anyway, long story short, she lost. But Holly Holm was a huge underdog. I mean, like a huge underdog. At one point, I think it was a 15-1 underdog. So you put down a dollar. How much did you get back?
15.
Yay, Mary! See, you can do this. You're a sports. You've got like a future in betting. Like you're gonna next week. You're gonna be a bookie. Mary's gonna come back and she's gonna have like a book full of like.
Let's do it.
We got to do something to pay for the show. Right. Which, by the way, we have a sponsor. And I got to pull that up in a second.
Gotta do that.
But all right. So there's a guy out there who has been betting on all of these like sort of. I mean, he just shits money because he's probably friends with Mayweather. But this guy is the same guy who basically put a lot of money on the Kansas City Royals at the beginning of the season. At the beginning of the season, he said the Kansas City Royals are going to win the World Series. Now, the odds of picking who's going to win the World Series is like very, very, very slim. I mean, like the odds are probably like you're better off getting struck by lightning. Or I guess that's not even true because if there's 30, Rich, how many baseball teams are there?
32.
So you got a 1-in-32 chance. That's pretty good. That's a much better odds. Like, I don't get it. So why would anybody play the lotto when you've got like a 1-in-a-billion something chance to win? When you could play that and have a 1-in-32 chance to win.
Yeah, but some of it's our favorite, and the payback's like, you know,
mil and then
you know,
nothing.
You bet 100,000 to win 100,000 if you pick a favorite, you know, so it doesn't work exactly. Like
yeah,
that.
So this guy basically put down like 200 grand at the beginning of the season, which is a lot of money, but his payoff was ridiculous. He got $2.5 million back when he picked the Royals to win. So just because he decided he was going to throw a lot of money at Holly Holm, because he figured at some point Ronda Rousey has to lose. And he was right. And
so how much did he win?
250 grand. $250,000. So we put $20,000 down on it, and ended up coming home with $250,000. So that's a pretty easy way, I think, to make some money. So I think from now on, we're going to start raising funds for SteveUlsherNeedsANewFerrari.com, and that's what I think we're going to open up right now. SteveUlsherNeedsANewFerrari.com, and that will be my charity. And so if you want to donate to the charity, just go to SteveUlsherNeedsANewFerrari.com and donate some money. And then we're going to use all those proceeds. Forget about Kickstarter or crowdfunding and whatever that stuff is. We're going to use all of those proceeds, and we're going to bet really long on some of these sports teams. That's the plan for the future. Yeah? What do you think?
I don't know. My brain hurts after just one segment with you.
So,
right,
Sheree,
now,
if you were creating a business model, that's the business model you would create to support your endeavor, correct?
No, I think I go with serving people and helping people out.
So not so,
that might be the path I choose.
Oh, all right, fine. Well, we're going to have some fun here. So we're going to talk to Sheree Alexander. And what are we talking about today, Sheree? We're talking about influence, but specifically, what are we talking about?
Well, I mean, you're the host, dude, so we can talk about whatever the hell you want.
Don't give them that power.
Pot her down like right now. Right? No, that's just playing. So, but I do have the power. But actually, that's not even true. Mary truly has the power. All right, so we're going to be talking influence and lots of other fun things here with Sheree Alexander. And on the break, I am actually going to go to DraftKings. And I can't go to DraftKings anymore. They got shut down. My
and
cousin
what about
owns
that. What?
My cousin owns DraftKings. He was on the cover of Fortune, and the next week they got shut down.
No way.
Go figure. All right, we'll be right back with more Reinvention Radio right after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
And now back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher, and along with Mary Boulay and Rich O'Tay in the Hesh. What's up, y'all? All right, and we're also live on Blab. Very cool. And I'd like to thank our sponsor. We've got an official sponsor, which is super cool, which would be The Mortar. Just subscribe to The Mortar, themortarblog.com. So if you probably heard that, apartment buildings can be a great investment, and they can. So done right, investing in multifamily real estate can provide a nest egg for retirement. It could even set you free from the 9-to-5 corporate grind, but getting started is hard. So wouldn't you like to learn how it's done right from the pros? Wouldn't you like to learn that,
yes,
Mary? You would like to. And Rich, I know,
yes,
you would like to learn,
yes,
as well. So check out The Mortar, where professional investor Jonathan Twombly will share his insider tips and strategies, and it is all free. Just subscribe to The Mortar at themortarblog.com. The Mortar, it's what holds the bricks together. Yeah, bang, do it. All right, sweet. All right, so welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Thanks to our sponsor, The Mortar. And Sheree, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How
you're doing
are you?
Well. Yeah, you're going on vacation. Where are you going on vacation, by the way?
I'm going to Mammoth up in Northern California.
Nice.
Where I haven't started drinking yet.
Nice. Please do. It's Wednesday and it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right? But it's actually Tuesday.
Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
Or
it's
Tuesday.
Yeah, or that. Yeah, if you've ever been in my... By the way...
I've asked myself like 3 times today, like, is it Friday? Is it Tuesday? Is it what? I don't know anymore.
I know. And that's why, so Mary's trying to sell my house right now, which is very cool. And you're going to sell it. So by the time we
it
will be sold. So by the time we do this show next week, it will be sold. Yes, exactly.
It's not even English.
I can be of speak. So, but by the way, you're always like, you know, can we do the lockbox kind of thing? I'm like, no, we can't do the lockbox. You know why? Because if they open cabinets in our house, really bad things could happen. Like, that's why we need to be there in a company. Because, like, behind any door, it's like, you remember the, what was the deal show where Monty Python, what was the guy's, Monty Hall, what was that show? Let's make a deal. That's what it was. So, like, behind every door of my house, you never know what you're going to find. So,
that's
basically.
Not true.
Oh, it is true, but you just haven't found the right doors yet.
I do the one that's open with the two puppies.
And smartly so, and the puppies love you. All right, so, Cherie, we are talking influence today. They told me that. They wrote me a note. My dogs are so good, they wrote me a note. Bring the blonde back. All right, so, Cherie, we were talking influence today, and specifically conversational influence. What does that exactly mean?
Well, so conversational influence is the ability to have flexible communication in order to get a goal out of somebody. So getting them to say something, think something, feel something different without any net. And in conversations, you don't know that what the person's going to say. You don't know if somebody else is going to start jump in the conversation. There's so many variables, and you have to be able to control or have command of all forms of communication, including body language and techniques and charisma and everything that you need to be an influential communicator.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of the emphasis might be on the listening part of it and observing.
Well, so let me share with your listeners a bit about my background and where all this came from and what this means. So I spent about the first 5 or 6 years in my entrepreneurial journey as a speechwriter and presentation coach. So I worked with politicians and CEOs and helped them be really persuasive on the platform. And after doing that for a number of years, I kind of got bored with it. I felt like, oh, I've reached as far as I can learn in this field. There's not much more to go. But I still had a very strong passion for the power of persuasion, what it means for your words to have impact on somebody else's life. And that's when I reached out or had the idea to reach out and research and study under master influencers. And those people include CIA field agents, hostage negotiators, con artists, pickup artists, trial attorneys, military intelligence officers, undercover DEA agents, all of these people who the majority of them face quite literally life and death situations, and the outcome of those situations are based on what that person says and how they say it. And so I wanted to learn from them, how do they do what they do, and bring it back to us average Joes and help us be better leaders, better entrepreneurs, better, you know, mission advocates.
So how did you get to be, you know, study under them? Did you just, like, call them? You know, like, call these people. I mean, you're talking... Wow.
Just go, like, down to the D.C., you know, like, go to Washington, D.C., just, like, knock on the CIA's, like, front
right?
door. Hi, I'd like to infiltrate the CIA.
You guys are really smart, and I want to learn from you. I mean, how did you even do that? Those are, like, and con men. How did you know what they were teaching you? They weren't conning you.
How did you know
time?
They were con men, right?
Right.
Because con men don't exactly just, like, it's on my, like, hand out a business card. Steve Ulsher, professional con man. Like,
con artist.
How did you even know?
You'd be surprised with a little bit of gumption and you know, deep desire. You can make a lot of things happen. So specifically with the CIA agents, honestly, that was a bit of luck and a whole lot of networking. Mm. So it just shocked me how when I put that intention out in the world that somebody would say, oh, my granddad did that for, you know, 6 years. Or I would meet somebody in an event. They were in the military intelligence for a decade. And just all of these people. And so, of course, then once you make a strong connection with one of them and you build trust and rapport, then you get in contact with a few others. And so the few caveats are that, you know, the agents that I interviewed were not active. They were retired. And but they weren't. They also weren't like Cold War agents, even though I interviewed them as well. They were, you know, like our age. Mm-hmm. And with the con artists, the caveat to that is they did get caught. So these are con artists that were either incarcerated or then later wrote a book about their experiences. And you know of a con artist already. I mean, you know about Frank Abagnale, right? You saw Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
So here's the publicity department, and, you know. So there's with a few Google alerts, you can get in touch with a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, of the people that you interviewed, there had to be some like amazing stories. So who were the most interesting people of those that you studied under, and what were some of their stories that you can share?
Sure. One of my favorites was a female in military intelligence officer. Thus far, she's the only female that I've been able to interview. And she worked in the Middle East, and she was in charge of doing interrogations for the captured suspects of potential terrorists. And clearly, there is a gender dynamic issue, challenge, that happens when you're talking to somebody that has fanatical views, and those, part of those fanatical views are that women are a subclass. And so I asked her, how did you deal with that? Like, what techniques did you use to, you know, get their either respect or trust and build that rapport when they already view you as already an infidel, and then two, perhaps even worse, as a female?
Yeah.
And she said, I thought about that, but the truth of the matter is, I made sure that they know that, I am a woman, but in the room, I am the woman.
Mm. Like, nice.
That's so freaking awesome.
That's the way it rolls here at WS Radio.
Yeah. I mean, I
am not a woman, but I am the woman.
I will tell you that when you are not here, the dynamic totally changes. We had a testosterone fest last week, so Wade was running the board, and then Chuck was in here, so it was me and Rich, and we did gender equity again just because we could.
So you know what I say, wherever two or more men are gathered, they turn into 14-year-olds.
Well, that is for sure, and some stupidity was bound to take place.
Yeah.
So how do you relate this?
I'm sure the room gets a lot smellier.
Yeah, by the way, and Sheree, you really asked to be on the program, so I it's funny here on Blab because like you can actually see like facial expressions. So
right.
I love the dynamic that Blab brings to the table. So like watching your facial expressions during some of this stuff, even though like you don't, you know, really, because I get it, like you're aware, like you're one of those people that's like totally aware of like who you are and what you're doing and what you're putting off, but like I can see like a little twinge, just like in the eyebrow, just like the eyebrow, just like
a twinge,
just like a little like
what am I doing,
just
here?
Like a little up in the eyebrow there. It's like I don't know if I should have done this. All right, so talk to us a little bit about how this relates to corporate then, because obviously you train folks in the corporate world about how to, as you say, you know, sort of take what's from the dark arts and bring it into the light. So how are folks in leadership and in the corporate world applying some of these principles?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as Mary brought up, one of the first questions was, is it mostly about listening? And the answer to that is half yes. It's mostly about observation. So the three steps of influence are observe, connect, and then influence. And so the thing is that people are, as perhaps one of the best ways to view observation is, as Sherlock Holmes says, you know, you see, but you don't observe. That people are kind of sort of aware of their surroundings just for survival purposes, but are they really, really tapping in, really paying attention? And then, of course, the question is, what do you pay attention to? What are you supposed to look for? What are you supposed to listen for? What are you supposed to elicit? And so that's what I teach people is the influential vibes that they can pick up from people. And the vibes are values, identifiers, beliefs, emotional triggers, and secret goals and desires. And once they can pick up on those, as well as I teach personality profiles. So I use a lot of Myers-Briggs because, again, that's what the agency uses primarily. But, of course, there's some DISC in there and some few other things. And then observing yourself. So paying attention to your own body language. Are you speaking what you want to be speaking in a nonverbal way? Are you open? Are you confident? Are you charismatic? And then the rapport building, making sure that there's that connection. And then, of course, the part that everybody loves is the home run hitters of those influential techniques. So how do I get them to say yes to the thing that I really want them to say yes to?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. So Myers-Briggs and DISC, I just want to go back to those profiling things.
Sure.
There are a zillion of them. So do you aren't there a bunch of them?
Yeah, but
what color is your parachute, you know, all of those things. There's,
but there's
and
some
all
reality.
Of them are based on, yeah, because all of them are, most of them, the originator of all of those is Myers-Briggs.
Okay.
And then from that came DISC. And then from that, there's the what color is your parachute, or what color are you,
strength
or what spirit
stuff,
animal
yeah.
are you, or whatever. But they all the spokes come back to Myers-Briggs.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so let's do this, because we're going to have to take a break here. It is very fascinating. I want to talk about the traits of influencers, because I know that there's some common themes and some threads that run between influencers. And I want to see if we can get Sheree to share with us some of the examples that we should emulate as well. All right, more on Reinvention. Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that is help so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
Now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio here on a lovely Tuesday for a change. This is Thanksgiving week. And no, not a new time or day. We don't want to confuse people. This is like
then don't tell them it's Tuesday.
This is a one-off thing.
It is a one-off.
It's a one-off thing. All right, because our time is Thursdays from 12 to 2 Pacific.
And I loaned you my time.
And you, that is so sweet of you.
Because
and you know
it's your birthday.
And you know what I did in exchange for you giving me your time?
What?
I brought you a cookie.
Yes, you did, but I don't know where it came from.
I'm not telling you where it came from or how.
It's scaring me.
Did you taste it?
Not yet.
Please do. Rich already has. By the way, we're talking about.
It tastes good. I just don't know
where it came from.
You know, knowing Steve, we could be like.
Knowing Wade.
Here,
pupils will be dilated.
Right, I'll put it to you this way. One of these three cookies was on the floor.
Oh! So it was yours or mine, Rich?
Oh, wait a minute.
So if you're pulling hair like out of your teeth, then that was the one. That's how you know. Because, Sheree, I'm all about influence. So I want to be sure that I have, you know. But all right, let's do this real quick.
Very interesting. I want to hear more of what she has to say.
I do as well. Okay, so Sheree, when you look at the three of us right now, and by the way, Mary is frozen on screen, which is awesome. So when you look at Mary's face and body language right now, what does that tell you?
Oh, that's so funny.
Well, in the freeze frame, she's very engaged. She's leaning forward. She's gesturing. She's got her eyes big wide open.
You better have my back.
Now,
Sheree.
Yeah, we are.
I do, sister.
We are on equal footing here. It's two guys and two girls, which is good for you. Actually, it's probably better for us because we learn from women.
We can take you down.
And you do. I mean, actually, women have all the power. I'll be 46 tomorrow. I am very clear.
That's not true.
That women. I am 46 tomorrow. I am very clear that women. Why are you laughing? Do I look older? You thought I was. Oh my God.
No, 47.
You thought I was 47. Nice. Great. That's awesome. So, all right. So here's. Sheree's like.
Oh no, he's 47.
Rich is 47.
Okay. So yeah, I want to hear more.
Yes. Absolutely. All right. So here's what my questions are. And by the way, on the Myers-Briggs things, you know how like the ENTF and the INCBs and all that stuff. As you know, what I am, I am a WEED. So that's mine as well. Yeah. That's Sheree's like, huh? Yeah. Listen to the show. You know exactly what that is. All right. So let's talk about traits of influencers. So when you look at influencers out in the public right now and some of the examples that we can look at, first of all, who are some of the examples that we can emulate or model in terms of who you think sort of embody the characteristics, if you will, of an influencer that we could learn from? So who are some of those folks and what are the traits that they display that we should try to emulate or model?
So I don't necessarily bring up real life people because for a few reasons, because a lot of people's value systems get in the way of what that person's value systems might be. I could say Barack Obama is somebody that you could emulate as a very influential person, but for somebody that doesn't hold his same values, then all of a sudden that's tainted. So it's easier to kind of look at fictional characters and point out the good traits there, because at least then people have that separation that they can put in place with that, which is actually a technique that you need to be able to grow as an influencer, is to be able to suspend your ego. So suspending your ego is very similar to when you go to a movie theater and you suspend your disbelief that you know somebody can't be riding on a motorcycle and shooting people and then jump off the bridge and then land okay and never get a scratch ever. You suspend that disbelief. In the same way, you kind of suspend your ego disbelief when you're talking to somebody else, because it's your job to get into their mind and not be constantly looking through the filter of your own judgments, your own beliefs, your own all this and that and the other. So to get to your question, who's somebody to emulate? I don't know if I would emulate his morals, but his techniques are fantastic.
Tony Soprano.
And that is
Trump.
Frank no, almost. Frank Underwood on
House love
of
him, yeah. Oh,
that's a hell of a
character. He's good.
Right,
yeah.
He's good.
Yeah, if you watch that series and if you rewatch it, every single thing that he does, he is looking for the hot button to push for that person that he's about to manipulate. So let's just clarify a little bit the difference between influence and manipulation. Manipulation is when the outcome for your mark, the person that you're wanting to influence, is potentially or definitely negative, that they will be lesser than by the end of this. Hence in House of Cards, people die, no spoilers here, but people get hurt, people die, all that stuff. Influence or persuasion, those two are interchangeable. And that is when either your mark is improved or enhanced by the end of this, or it's neutral, that nothing has really changed for them, but you have taken a step up in some form or fashion. And so, yeah, I mean, Frank Underwood in House of Cards, he pushes those buttons and manipulates very, very well. And how he looks for those things, it's a work of art.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a book?
I'm working on it. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Well, where do we go to find out more? Because now I'm like super sleuthy. I want to learn everything.
Yeah. So website is, and I'll put in the chat too for people, is Cherie-Alexander.com. And then if you go to the book link in the top, then you can sign up for when the early release and all the good stuff with that.
Mm-hmm. So that's Cherie, Cherie-Alexander.com. So one of the questions that I'm pulling this off of the blog here as well, because you're a hell of a writer and a book should definitely be done and around the corner, as you said it is. So that'll be awesome. We'll all be looking for that. I know I will. But you had some very interesting posts over some time here. And one of the things that I wanted you to share is that one word that leaders should stop using. What is that and why?
That's a good one. I love this one because I constantly am hearing it. So when you use the word just, as in, I just need you to, I just want, I just this, I just that, you are undermining either your own personal worth and perceived value and or the worth or perceived value of somebody to take an action for you. So if you say, oh, I'm just working on a book, you're saying, oh, it's just this little thing, it's not a big deal, and it no longer is something that is compelling. Also, when you say, I just need you to fill in that report and get that, was it on Office Space, the TPI report in by Friday, it's undermining the time and effort that person is needing to put in. So being very, very aware of your justs and cutting them out. Have a justectomy in your language.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That's like that. Yeah, no, that is good. So And I know you have, and again, you call it moving from, you know, that dark arts of influence into the light. And I know you've spent, as you said, a lot of time researching this and talking to a number of people. As a highlight, what are some of those things that we can learn then from the con artists and others who, I guess, for lack of a better term, don't use influence in the best ways?
Yeah, sure. So specifically with the con artists, that one was a very kind of heartbreaking lesson that I had to realize, but then it turned into a very heartwarming lesson. And so the thing that the con artists, or especially the con artists that go for the long con, who are trying to get tons and tons of money, not the guys that are just running like little bar scams. I didn't interview those guys. But the long con guys have come to the realization that every single one of us has a deep-seated desire to be seen, to be heard, to be recognized, and to be validated, and to be appreciated. So as a part of our human experience, we want those moments oh so much to be appreciated. And yet, even though we're all seeking it, very few are actually giving it. And so the con artists are the ones that step in and go, I'll give you appreciation and validation and then screw you over and leave, but I'll give you all that good stuff you're looking for. And so they are leveraging that deep desire and need. And so us average Joes are actually giving the con artists more power. We are empowering them by failing to give validation and appreciation to others, by being on autopilot and being too wrapped up in our own shit rather than looking and saying, you know, just want you to know, really appreciate what you're doing, and instead of going, great, you got that in, here's the next thing. Mm-hmm. So that's one lesson that all of us can use. And once you give appreciation, then that's connection, that's likability. And as Robert Cialdini greatly pointed out in his book of influence, likability is one of the most influential tools in your set. So appreciation. And then another one with the pickup artist was that having a very clear intention with your influence. What is it that you specifically want to get out of this person? Because all of us have, we're very, very clear about what we don't want. I don't want to feel embarrassed. I don't want to hear no. I don't want to be laughed at. I don't want to, you know, fail at getting this raise. I don't want to fail. All of these don'ts. But do you have a clear picture from what you do want from somebody? Every single time that one of my clients has, you know, they're butting heads with somebody and they just don't understand why they just don't do this thing, it's because they haven't clearly communicated what they want from that person. And I ask them, you know, what specific outcome are you looking for here? And they go, well,
most people don't know. Yeah.
And the fact that there's that pause, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So having a clear intention, and the pickup artists have a very, very clear intention.
Yeah.
And that was one of the lessons I learned from them, for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, at the end of the day, I believe that everyone has something to teach us, and some of that's going to be good stuff that we encounter, and others are going to be not so good stuff. But I think we can really learn from everyone. And when you come right down to it, most people have an agenda. You know, when you're
Absolutely.
Dealing with folk, right? I mean, they have an agenda coming into a conversation. And it's like, that's where it gets a little fuzzy for me. And I want to talk about this after the break here. And unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap after the next time. It just all goes so quickly here. Yeah. But I want to talk after the break about how to decipher sort of what I might call those who are being genuine from those who have a clear agenda going into the conversation and trying to leverage their influence to get what they want. So let's talk about that after the break. And again, it's Sherie Alexander. That's Shari-Alexander.com. So Shari-Alexander.com. And we are talking about reinventing conversational influence here on Reinvention Radio. Right back after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio here. Oh, man, time just flies on this show. I got to tell you, we're going to have to do it. I think we're just going to do a 24-hour show. That's the plan. We're just going to do 24 hours, you know, 24 hours of Reinvention Radio, all Reinvention Radio, all the time.
Across the, like this?
Like this.
Really?
Yeah.
We definitely are blabbing from home.
We're definitely blabbing.
Yeah.
Agreed. Good. All right. And you know what else is really,
we can do that.
You know what else is a really good idea?
No.
You take a guess. Check out themortarblog.com.
Okay.
Check out themotorblog.com, right? You knew where I was going with this, right? Because have you ever...
I just said.
I mean, our sponsor, we got to thank our sponsor here. Have you ever dreamed of escaping the corporate grind and becoming a full-time real estate investor? That's the question. And
yes,
you have. Of course you have. So Jonathan Twombly made that switch from miserable Wall Street lawyer to full-time real estate investment professional. And if you'd like to find out how he did it, subscribe to The Mortar at themortarblog.com. There, Jonathan shares all you need to know to learn real estate investing from the inside out, and it's all free. Just subscribe to The Mortar. That's themortarblog.com. The Mortar, it's what holds the bricks together. Yeah, awesome. All right, sweet. So thanks for that, Jonathan, and definitely check out The Mortar. All right, sweet. So we're talking to Sheree Alexander here, and before the break, time flies on this. I just want to talk a little bit about how do you know if someone is trying to manipulate you? I mean, the whole question of people who are being genuine versus coming in with an agenda, because I think that ultimately, well, so many people have agendas, obviously, going into conversations. But as the recipient, how do you know whether or not you're being manipulated? How do you know whether or not it's just somebody trying to leverage some of this NLP that you teach and leverage the power of influence? What are some of the things that we need to look for?
Well, I think there's a little bit of a two-fold question in there. Is one, if you have the assumption that everybody has an agenda, then be okay with it. Don't be paranoid. Just, you know, understand. Because if you're okay with the fact that other people are trying to leverage a situation, it actually empowers you to feel more okay to try to leverage situations. And that's honestly where so much of this bringing the dark arts of the influence into the light comes from, is because way too many of us good people are holding back because we're afraid of being, you know, part of those people that are being manipulative and bad, but then you're not empowering yourself to actually influence people to the positive change that you want. Like, people that are running charities who are holding back on learning these influential techniques are actually then stagnating the amount of influential or the amount of donations that they can get for their charity, for their nonprofit. So this whole fear around people having an agenda is disempowering, and you have to just be okay with it. Now, to say, is this somebody who's manipulating me and putting me in harm or danger, then that's when you have to tap into your core values. Is this going to be breaking my agreements and rules and beliefs in this world? If so, then step out of it, get away from it. But if it's aligned and it feels okay, then make it a win-win. Like, don't just being holding all that fear is the same thing of having a scarcity mindset. I feel that people have a scarcity mindset when it comes to influence, and I'm tired of it. So let's fix it.
There you go. Yeah. Well, and also, if we're emotionally attached to an outcome or protecting something, then we're at even more risk. Don't you think?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a great point. So, go ahead.
No,
we had a show. We had a show a while back. What was that show? It was we were reinventing.
It was influence too.
Oh, that was the one. Reinventing mass approach? Influence. Exactly. Just talking about how you have to acknowledge people, and it's sort of like that. What is that? Compliment sandwich.
That's
a really good question, Sheree. I'm glad you asked.
So I was just taking that.
Exactly. So we just yay, validation. But I think lost in all that, there actually was a question there, and she actually acknowledged that
and
was a question.
And it was a good question.
It was. So what was the question?
Being emotionally attached to an outcome.
Yeah, exactly. And she already answered that. No?
Yeah.
All right, so here's my question, right? And two things. First and foremost, so thanks for the participation here on Blab. Very cool. Again, check us out live 12 to 2 Pacific, mostly on Thursdays unless it's Thanksgiving, and then we come on Invade Mary's show on Tuesday. But one of the things that one of the gentlemen here was talking about in the what do you even call it? The chat roll. That's what that thing is called. The chat roll there was talking about Darth Vader and sort of these Jedi mind tricks and that sort of thing, right? I mean, wasn't that like the ultimate sort of use of influence, right? That whole sort of Star Wars Jedi mind tricks, right? Like, oh, you're right. You can pass through this gate. You know, that kind of thing. Well, how does Star Wars kind of like tie into all this? And since the new movie just kind of came out, maybe it's a little timely discussion.
How does Star Wars tie into this? Steve, I have to tell you, Star Wars is a fictional movie. It's
what?
Not real. It doesn't really exist.
That
We're
not
in space. But I think, okay, but I will say this, that I think Star Wars in particular, and if you guys are uber nerds like me and have already finished the Jessica Jones series on Netflix, the new Marvel release with David Tennant, the big bad guy in that one is he's played by David Tennant, and he's a mind controller. And so I think it is kind of the ultimate desire that we all have to just sort of display some sort of inception abilities and be able to just through our minds connect to somebody else. But since unfortunately we can't do a Vulcan mind meld, I will throw in as many nerdy references as I can get in here. Then that means we have to step up our skills. We have to step up our awareness. We have to step up our practice and use the tools that we have, because the truth of the matter is, even though we can't do the whole mind control, there are so many skills and so many tools and techniques that are at our disposal, but too many people remain ignorant of them. Yeah. So if you want to get as close as you can to be Obi-Wan, man, then jump on the bus.
Right. And so, all right, on the break, we were talking a little bit about how to use influence to sell my house, right? Yeah. That's what you were talking about, Mary. Right. So, like, how does Mary use influence to get more real estate clients, and how does she use influence to sell my house and her other listings as well? Any thoughts, like, around that in a practical application?
Sure. So, like I mentioned earlier, one of the main things I teach is influential vibes, picking up on the vibes of your mark. And once again, just real quickly, because I know we're short on time, but the vibes are values, identifiers, beliefs, emotional triggers, and secret goals and desires. So if you're trying to sell a house, I would try to figure out, what does this person value? Are they jet-setting and very rarely going to be at home, and it's a very rare occurrence, and so when they're home, are they wanting to work, or is it they want it to be an oasis? Then that's how I would pitch it. But, oh, this office space is great for all the work that you're going to be doing, or it's so secluded and you can be away and relax and unwind and feel the serenity of the area. If the identifiers are when the person says who they are, and they say it very, very often. So if they say, like, oh, I'm such a slob or something, then, oh, well, here's a list of, you know, house cleaning people that we trust and love, and something along those lines. And then I'm trying to think of, oh, secret goals and dreams, the fifth of the vibes would be really good, that if you can get them to say, like, what they're really searching for, what they really want, what does this house ultimately represent to them? Does this mean, is this house a growing family? Is this house a mark, a badge of honor, like, now I own property and now I'm a real adult? Or what does this represent to them? And then figure out that picture and push that even more and more in front of them. And so those two to three, I would really rock out.
Yeah, no, that's really, really, really cool. And again, check out SheriAlexander.com, and that's SHARI
-.
God, you're using your influence here, and I wish you would step back.
See this pod?
I know, I'm afraid you're going to pod me down there. So that's SHARI-Alexander.com, and really cool having you on. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Cherie. I hope you have an enjoyable time.
Thank you.
And, and wish me luck with my turkey, because Lord only knows what's going to happen. So
just influence it positively.
I'm going to use Jedi mind tricks to make the turkey do what it's supposed to be doing. So, all right, very cool.
You're awesome, Cherie.
Awesome talking influence here on Reinvention Radio. And so much to think about and observe, connect, influence, the three-step process there, and then, you know, man, she renamed a few other things as well that I'm going to have to re-listen to.
That.
I know, because there's some really good stuff there that I'm going to have to listen to as well. So, all right, everyone, have a really awesome week. Have a phenomenal Thanksgiving. We'll be back at our normal time a week from Thursday,
yes, we will.
12 to 2 Pacific. And for those who have been rating, reviewing, and subscribing to the podcast, thank you so much. And don't forget, 844-MR-BOLD-1, MRBOLD-1. If you have a comment or question about a past episode, we'll talk to you guys next time.
And happy birthday, Steve.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsher, visit reinventionradio.com.